All right, we're recording. We're on. So the topic of the shiur tonight is officially Rosh Hashanah Tshuva with a hint of Tehillim, and I just put that as the topic because I wanted to keep it in the framework of the whole and consistent with the shiur of Tehillim. But really, the real topic is with regard to Tshuva, and there happens to be a pasuk about Tehillim in this Gemara that we're going to do. So the first source that we're going to start with is number one, and it's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis. I think it's like around the middle of the page if you're using Gemara at home. All right, so I'm going to read it slowly. So it says, V'amar Rabbi Yitzchak, if you look at number one. So Rabbi Yitzchak said, Arba'a Dvarim Mekarin Gzar Dino Shel Adam. So there are four things that a person can do to change their decree from heaven. To change their lot, so to speak. And Elohim, these are them. So what are the four things a person should do? Tzedakah, so they should give tzedakah. Tzaakah, they should scream. Literally, that's what it means. Shinui Hashem, they should change their names. Vishinui Maisa, and a person should change his actions. Okay, so the Gemara goes into detail and starts quoting Psukim as to how we know that these actions in particular are the main actions that a person should do in order to change their lot. Okay, so tzedakah, the first one, dichsiv, it says in Mishlei Yud, utzedakah tatzil mimavis. So the first pasuk says that tzedakah, charity, will save a person from death. So you see from there, from this pasuk, which we're going to analyze further, but we see from this pasuk that tzedakah changes a person's decree from death to life. So it's going to save a person from death. Okay? The next one is tzaka, which means literally to scream or to yell. So it says, Dichsiv in Tehillim, Kuf Zayin, Vayitzaku el Hashem batzar lahem, yotziyim. So they cried out, they screamed out to Hashem in their distress, in their pain, and from their straits, from their dire straits, they were saved. Okay, so that's the second thing that a person's supposed to do to change their lot is to scream out to Hashem. And we'll see what that means in specific. Okay, fine. So Shinui Hashem, changing your name. So where do we learn that out from? So the Gemara says, Dichsiv, Sarai Ishtecha, Lo Sikra Shema Sarai, Ki Sarah Shema. So it says in the Pasuk that Hashem changed Sarah's name from Sarai to Sarah. And it says right after, Uchsiv, Uveirachti Osa, Vigam Nasati Mimena, Lecha Bein. So it says that right after her name was changed, so she was rewarded with a child. So what do you see from there? You see that initially her lot or her decree or Gzar Din was to not have a child. And then all of a sudden, after her name was changed by Hashem, poof, her lot changed and she was blessed. Okay. Now we're gonna finish the Gemara. Shinoi Maaseh, so changing your actions. So what is that referring to? What's the pasuk? So we learn it out from Yonah. So if everybody knows the story of Yonah, Yonah the Navi was sent by Hashem to warn Nineveh that they were going to get destroyed if they don't do tshuva. So it says after it says they changed their ways, and it says Vayar HaElokim es Maaseihem. If you look in the Gemara, so Hashem saw their ways, their actions. So they changed their actions. Uchsiv. Vayinachem ha'elokim al hara'ah asher diber la'asos lahem v'lo asa. So it says that Hashem, he was comforted by seeing them changing their actions, and he didn't do what he was supposed to do to them. He was supposed to destroy them, but instead he held back, and he didn't destroy them because they changed their actions. Shinu ma'asam. And the last, there's an additional factor that's a machlokes. So it says in the Gemara, "V'yesh omrim af shinoi makom." So it says even changing your place where you live, dichsiv, because it says, "Vayomer Hashem al Avraham lech lecha ma'artzecha." So Avraham was told by Hashem to leave his birthplace, v'hadar, and afterwards it says, "Ve'eschel l'goy gadol." He will be made, or he was made into a great nation. So you see that changing your place, changing your makom, where you live, is sometimes a factor in changing your lot. And beforehand, he wasn't necessarily supposed to be a great nation. And after he moved and he changed his place of living, he was made into a great nation. And the other shita, v'idach, the other shita who does not include shinoi makom in one of the things that you're supposed to do in order to change your lot, says, how does he explain it? Ha'hu zechusa de'aretz Yisrael huda hanyale. So the fact that he moved to Eretz Yisrael, that was what helped him. It's not moving per se. It's not just moving or changing your place of dwelling, but rather it's Eretz Yisrael that is what that gave him the benefit and changed his lot. So just to review the Gemara before we ask a question, an essential question, the Gemara is saying that there are four and potentially five things that a person's supposed to do in order to change their lot and to save their lives. So one thing, like we said, is tzedakah, which is charity. Tzaka, which is screaming, and we'll call it tefillah because it's really tefillah. Shinoi Hashem, which means changing a person's name. And Shinoi Masa, which is changing a person's actions. And then the last thing, which is a machlokas in the Gemara, is Shinoi Mako, which is changing one's place of living. So before we move on, does anybody have any questions on this Gemara? Any basic questions to analyze? How are we supposed to analyze this Gemara? What questions could be asked? So I think if anybody has any questions, please interject now if you want. Have any questions? Anybody on this Gemara? Well, in general, what do we say changes a person's lot in general?
Tefillah.
What else? What's the main thing that a person should do? Let's say a person does tshuva. Good. So the main thing that a person is supposed to do to change their lot is tshuva. So if you look at number two, and I'm just going to strengthen the question. So it says, Amar Rav Yochanan. It's a Gemara. It's Maseches Rosh Hashanah. On the next daf Yud Zayin, or a couple of dafim later, it says daf Yud Zayin Amar Beis. It's a singular statement. But it says, Amar Rav Yochanan, Gedola tshuva. So tshuva is great. Why? Gzar Dino Shel Adam. So it tears up the decree on man. Shenamar, because it says in the Pasuk in Yeshayahu, Hashmein Lev Ha'amazah. So the nation as a whole has become fat. The Aznav Hachbed, and their ears have become heavy. The Einav Hasha, and their eyes are closed up. Pen Yira Be'enav, lest they see with their eyes. Uva Aznav Yishma, and they hear with their ears. Ulvavo Yavin, and they understand with their hearts. Vishav, and they do tshuva. V'rafala, and they'll be healed. So they learn out from here that tshuva really, the really tshuva vishav, that aspect of the pasuk is really essential to changing a person's lot. So what's the question at this point? It seems to be somewhat of a contradiction, because which one is it? Is it tshuva or is it these four things? Is it a machlokes between the two shitas, or is it just, or can we explain the two gemaras and show how they're not really a contradiction, right? But furthermore, I think a more basic question in analyzing this Gemara is, what are these four/five things? You know, what is it about these things that change a person's lot? I mean, it could have said wearing tzitzis if you're a man, or for keeping or doing more mitzvos, or it could have picked out different mitzvos, but why in specific like these mitzvos? What about these mitzvos help a person change their lot? And furthermore, like we asked before, how do these relate to tshuva, and in what way do they relate to tshuva? Just as a question, does anybody know, we say in tefillah, in Rosh Hashanah, we say something is mavirin es roha hagzera. Anybody remember in tefillah, in Rosh Hashanah? It's right after Nisana Tokef. Right. Okay. Utshuva utzvila utztaka mavirin es roha hagzera. So really, the Gemara, it comes from this Gemara. It does not include Shinoi Hashem, but really we say it in tefillah. We say that the three things that are going to change a person's decree in life from potential death to life are tshuva, davening, and tzedakah. So we have to analyze what the connection is between, you know, those three things, or those three entities. So the first thing that we're going to analyze is tzedakah, right? So what aspect of tzedakah? There are many aspects of tzedakah. Does anybody want to name a few aspects? What is the good of tzedakah? Why is giving tzedakah good? Just give me three things that make tzedakah good. Why is it important to give tzedakah? Just give me anything. Anybody on the phone.
Helping someone.
All right, good. You're helping somebody. Okay. Anybody else?
Awesome.
All right. Anybody?
Maybe showing that your money is not just something that you, you know, only take for yourself, and something that you don't hold too important, like it's not too much a priority to you, that you're able to share it.
Good, good. I like that. Okay.
It changes you to give.
Okay, good. All right, we're going to talk about that. So in what way does it change you? And what way does tzedakah change you? And we're going to see how it fits into this Gemara. And obviously, we didn't ask this question, or it's not really a question, but we have to assume that the Gemara is presenting like a theme here, that there is some common idea between or within all these things. So maybe after we analyze each one independently, we can come out with like a nice idea that kind of ties everything together. So first we're going to analyze tzedaka, but the only way to analyze tzedaka is by looking at the pasuk that the Gemara quotes, because obviously the pasuk the Gemara quotes is hinting to you what the main idea of tzedaka is relative to the changing of the decree. So the first pasuk is, it's in Mishle, Perek Yud, Pasuk Beis. So it says, I'm just taking out an English Tanakh because I want to translate it perfectly. So it's Mishle, Perek Yud, Pasuk Gimel. So the pasuk says, "Lo yo'ilu otros resha utstaka tatzil mimaves." If you look at number 3 for people who are here on the source sheet, so how do you translate that? So it says, "Treasures of wickedness will not avail, but charity rescues from death." Okay. So if you look at Rashi on that pasuk, he tries to explain like the meaning of this pasuk, and Rashi is. He says, "Lo yo'ilu otros resha." So, what does he say? He says, "Shaya mishtabeach ba'ashra," because he was being boasting about his wealth. Shenemar vayomer Ephraim ach asharti v'gomer. So, according to Pasuk in Hosea, it's a reference to Klal Yisrael. But the main idea that it's saying is that a person who boasts about his wealth won't help him. Okay, fine. Utstaka tatzil mimaves, and stuka tatzil mimaves. So Rashi, he has it as a question. V'im tomar tzadik shivazvez nechasav litstaka mehechan yisparnes. And if you want to say that a tzadik who gives up his property for tzedaka, how is he going to make a living? How is he going to live? So then the next pasuk answers that. If you look at number 4, the pasuk says, "Lo yarev Hashem nefesh tzadik v'havas rishaim yahadof," which is translated as, Hashem will not bring hunger upon the souls of the righteous, but the destructiveness of the wicked shall batter them. So basically, just to summarize the psukim, what the psukim are saying, so lo yu'ilu otros resha is a reference to people who boast about their wealth. And then, utstaka, according to Rashi, utstaka tatzim mimavis is a question. And how is the tzaddik who gives up all of his property or most of his property gonna be able to survive? So the Gemara is so the pasuk answers, "Lo yarev Hashem nefesh tzadik v'havas rishem yadov." So Hashem will not let the souls of the righteous be hungry. So basically, so what idea of tzedaka is being highlighted in this pasuk? I was thinking about this because I was actually watching Fox News and the idea of this pasuk came out at me. But the main question is, before I give you my example of what bothered me, what aspect of boasting about your wealth is improper? Why is it improper for a person to boast about their wealth? Like, what philosophically, like, what's the problem with it? So let me just give you the example and what I was thinking. So I was watching Fox News, and I was watching Bill O'Reilly on Fox News, and they were talking about taxation, Obama's taxation policy on millionaires. And he was debating a liberal professor from Columbia, and they were talking about how much is fair for tax in terms of taxes. Like, is 50% fair? Is 60% fair? So O'Reilly, he was telling this liberal professor. This liberal professor was obviously arguing for tax hikes on the rich, and O'Reilly was saying, "Do you feel like others are entitled to the money that I earned?" You know. So he was basically saying that I acknowledge the fact that, you know, that I should give some money to the government, but I earned this, I achieved this. So should I give, or are the liberal professor was African American. So he was arguing for the African American community. So he was saying, is it right for me to give this money that I earned or that I achieved to the African American community? So on the one hand, there is some validity to the argument, to that argument that, you know, he achieved his success because he put in hard work. But what bothered me about his statement is that when a person says something like that, they're just really not taking into account all the other factors that led to his success. For example, I was thinking about Bill O'Reilly himself. So Bill O'Reilly is a tall guy. He's like 6'5", you know? So a lot of times, like, height, you know, and your appearance is key to your success and to your ability to make money. So Bill O'Reilly, he may not have been a TV star or been successful in TV if not for the way he looked or his height. And that's not something that you achieve or that you control. Or, for example, the neighborhood that you grow up in oftentimes contributes to how much money you make ultimately. And also the family structure. If you have a healthy family structure, then that contributes to how much money you make. And also there are many factors along the line in terms of people that you meet, in terms of your brain, your intelligence, everything, your personality. All those things a person really doesn't have any control over. So on the one hand, it's true a person could feel some sense of achievement over his money, but he has to recognize that it's not all him. It's not all his own achievement. So I think this pasuk is telling you that one of the benefits of tzedakah, because he's saying it's referring to a person who boasts about his wealth. So the idea is that a lot of times, like, a person has a resistance to giving tzedakah because they feel like they achieved it. It's mine. You know, I earned this money. And that's a boastful person about his wealth. It's a person who attributes his wealth to his own achievement alone and his own success alone. So tzedakah really forces a person to really recognize that it's not really his own achievement alone, but it's outside of him. And he has to give up his money as a recognition of that idea, as a recognition of that factor. And I think that's the second part of the pasuk of utzedakah tatzel mimaves, as Rashi puts it, is another reason why a person doesn't give tzedakah. A lot of times a person feels like, if I give tzedakah, I'm going to be poor. But a lot of times it's an irrational fear. So I think the pasuk's highlighting that a person has to recognize his lack of control over especially money, because a person in general feels like they need or they have a certain control over money. And it's true, they do have some control over money, because you do have to make decisions and you do have bechira, and you can make the right decision in business and you can make the right decision as to what career you go into. But however, part of the idea of tzedakah is that it forces a person to recognize that it's not his own achievement, that he doesn't have complete control over his money, and a lot of what a person's achieved comes from outside factors that can be attributed to Hashem and Hashgacha or just nature. So all these things, that's one of the benefits of tzedakah. I think that's open from the pasuk. The benefit of tzedakah is that it forces a person to face the fact that it's not all him. You know, that he can't control all his money, and the fact that he achieved the success in terms of money is not completely attributable to him, as well as the fact that by the end of the pasuk, tzedakah tatzel mimaves, that also a person shouldn't have an irrational fear that he's going to go poor if he gives tzedakah, because you can't control. That's the idea of the next pasuk, lo yarif Hashem nefesh tzadik, that it's really out of man's hands somewhat, money and finances. So if we go with that approach, we're going to say that the first idea in the Gemara of tzedakah is the concept that a person has to recognize his lack of control, and it's very hard for a person to recognize that in the area of money. But the idea of tzedakah, the mitzvah of tzedakah, demands that a person recognize that. Okay? Any questions? Okay.
Can I suggest something?
Sure.
Another twist on tzedakah mimaves?
Yes.
Maybe it could also be that someone thinks that relates to the money, like, this will, for example, for me on this, will save me because I can access much better healthcare, hire better doctors, whatever it is. I mean, this is just a very...
Right. I agree with you. There's another, I think it's the Mitzudas David, I think, who says a shot like what you're saying, which is that a person puts a tremendous amount of security in money, and they think that money will be the cure to all, you know, to all their needs, and their they'll be saved by their money. But it's the same idea that real security should be placed in God, not in the money. But people overemphasize money and the value of money. Is that the idea that you were going to... Sorry for cutting you off.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. No, I definitely... I see that idea also. I think the Mitzudas David is in line with that concept. But ultimately, it's a concept. The concept is that that you have to recognize that your security should be placed in Hashem. That not in yourself completely, but it should be placed outside of the self. But that is a good idea, a good shot. Okay, so that's tzedakah. And we're going to go through each one of them, and then we're going to show the tie between all of them. So the next one is from Tehillim, which fits in with the general theme of the women's shira, Tehillim. So it's Tehillim Kav Zayin. So it's tzedakah. It means screaming, but the shot of screaming is that it's tefillah. It's really davening to Hashem. So if you look at Tehillim Kuf Zayin, it's number 6 on the list. I'm just going to read a couple psukim in so that we get like a little context of what the Tehillim is talking about. And then maybe we can understand the idea of tzedakah. All right, so I'm going to read the psukim, unless one of you wants to read. Anybody wants to read? Does anybody want to read the psukim? Okay. is that why you guys didn't come in today? You don't want me to...
I'm getting my Tehillim out.
Okay. I'll read. It's fine. Okay. So, Pasuk Aleph. Hodu Hashem ki tov ki yilvam chasto. Give thanks to Hashem, for He is good, for His kindness endures forever. Okay. Yomru ge'ulei Hashem asher ge'olam yad sar. So, it says, those redeemed by Hashem will say it, those who He redeemed from the hand of distress. So the people who He saves, who He redeems, say, Hodu Hashem ki tov ki yilvam chasto. Okay, what's this? Me'artzos kibtzom, me'mizrach u'mimarov. So He gathered them from the lands, from the east and from the west. Mitzafon u'miyam, from the north and from the sea. Ta'uba midbar b'yishimon darech, ir moshav lo matzo. They wandered in the wilderness, in the desolation of the path. They found no inhabited city. Okay. Re'evim gam tzmeim, nafsham bahem tis ataf. So it says, hungry as well as thirsty, their soul grew faint within them. Okay, Vayitzaku el Hashem batzar lahem. So they cried out to Hashem in their distress. This is the pasuk, the main pasuk. Mimitsuko sehem yatzilem. And He would rescue them from their straits. And then it says, He vayadrichem b'derech yeshara, and He led them upon a straight path. Valeches el ir moshav. So to go to an inhabited city. So they learn out, the Gemara learns out a famous bracha from these psukim. Does anybody want to take, before we answer the idea of tzedakah or give an idea on tzedakah, does anybody know what bracha emerges from these psukim and Tehillim? We say it very rarely. Let's see. Some people say you should say it when you fly over water. You're also supposed to say this bracha if you're sick and you recover from a disease.
Bench Gomel,
good. So the source for Birchas HaGomel is these psukim, and if I actually brought in the halacha in number 7 from the Shulchan Aruch. So it says Arba Tzrichim L'Hodos. So there are 4 people who have to give thanks to Hashem, meaning Birchas HaGomel. The Shulchan Aruch explains Yordei Hayom Kishalu Mimena. So a person who goes to sea when he gets lost at sea, for example, or he goes to sea and he gets out of it, the situation, so he has to bench Goma. V'holchei midbaros, a person who walks in the desert, kishiyagiyu liyishuv, when he gets to a dwelling place. U'mishaya chola v'nisrape, a person who is a chola, who is sick, and he gets healed. U'mishaya chavash v'vesa asurim biyata, a person who is in jail and gets out of jail. And the Shulchan Aruch gives a siman. He says, v'chol achayim yaducha selah, chola yisurim yam midbar. So there's 4 situations where a person has to bench Goma. But what's the common factor in all these situations? And what makes these situations similar? It's a simple answer. What makes these situations similar?
They're all in a situation where they're out of control, and they...
But what's the potential in all these situations? It's potentially death, right? Yeah. So all these situations really are dangerous situations. They're all situations where a person could potentially die. So the idea, based on the psukim and based on this halacha, the idea of tzaka, because it says in the pasuk, "Vayitzaku al Hashem batzar lahem," they screamed out to Hashem in their distress. It's showing you the nature of their tefillah, that the nature of a tefillah's tzaka is different than a regular tefillah. Why? When does tzaka emerge? Tzaka emerges when a person recognizes or sees the potential of their own death, and all these situations like holech b'midbar or yam. All these situations bring about a recognition of a person that his life is taloi, is dependent on Hashem. And if he doesn't call out to Hashem, which is his last hope, so he will, or he could potentially die. So the idea of tzedakah is really part of tefillah, but it's a different type of tefillah. It's not, we don't say that anytime you daven it's tzaka. We say that it's tzaka when it comes from a sense of despair, when a person senses that there's a potentially disastrous possibility, and the type of tefillah that emerges or is evoked in the person is a yell or is a scream to Hashem, please save me, you know. So I think that's the, perhaps that's the second idea. Okay, so the second idea is, just to summarize that idea, it's a tefillah that recognizes man's dependency, his life's dependency on Hashem. He has to recognize that if not for Hashem, he could potentially die. Okay, does everybody agree with that? Okay, so that's the second idea. Okay, now the third idea is Shinui Hashem. So they learn it out. It's funny, they learn out Shinui Hashem from Sarah. So maybe we can, if we look at that pasuk and maybe Rashi on the pasuk, maybe we can have a basic idea of what the value of changing one's name is. I was actually talking about this with a colleague of mine today at school, a Jewish, an Orthodox woman, and I asked her what she thought about Shinui Hashem. And most people, I think that the idea of changing the name is that you're going to escape your lot she wouldn't say this outright, but it's implied that you're escaping your lot through like tricking Hashem, because like Hashem won't know who you are by changing your name. And a lot of people have that idea of changing your name, but really we're going to see from this pasuk by Sarah that changing name is possibly a different idea. Okay, so let's look at number 8. The pasuk by Sarah is from is Bereishis Perek Yud Zayin Pasuk Tes Vav. So it says, Vayomer Elokim El Avraham Sarai Ishtecha Lo Sikra Eshema Sarai Ki Sarah Shema. So Hashem says to Avraham, Sarai, your wife, her name will no longer be called Sarai, but rather it'll be called Sarah. So her name was changed. We all know her name was changed from Sarai to Sarah. So what's the meaning of this change from Sarai to Sarah? If we look at Rashi on this pasuk, to give us an idea of what Shinui Hashem is, Rashi says, Lo sikra eshema sarai. So he says, the mashma sarai li. So the word sarai means for me, because there's a yud li, for my sarah, velo l'acherim, and for nobody else. Ki sarah stam shma. But sarah, the word sarah is more ambiguous. It's more for others. Shetehe sarah al kol. She'll be the sarah for everyone. So what's the change, the name change? The name change is from Sarai, which means for me, my Sarah, to Sarah, which is a more generalized Sarah. So what idea is gained? And then afterwards, the Gemara says that what happened? She had a child. So in your opinion, I want to hear some ideas here. So what exactly changed by changing her name? Why is it that before her name was changed, based on this Rashi, why is it that before her name was changed, she wasn't Zocha to a child, but once her name was changed, only then did she have a child? What idea is signified in that? Somebody give a possibility. Throw a possibility out there. Anybody on the phone lines? No? Anybody here?
So you could say the child was given for the purpose of serving the cloth.
Good. Good. All right, so that's the main idea that I was going to say. I just want to elaborate on... Who just said that, by the way? Is that...
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I'm just going to elaborate on that concept. So the concept that was just stated on the phone is that what changed was that Sarai is personal, but Sarah is now for the nation or for a progenitor of nations, similar to Avram, because you also see by Avram that his name was changed to Av Hamon Goyim. So the hey was added to demonstrate that Avram was now... a national figure. He wasn't just it wasn't just personal. So what do you see from the name change? So you see that having the child by Sarah was not just a fulfillment of a personal desire, but it had to be looked at in the framework of the nation. She was the mother of Klal Yisrael. So the idea of the name change perhaps is that when a person changes their name, it forces you to look at yourself differently. And I think the reason why the Gemara uses this pasuk, because this isn't even a pasuk related to a chet or tshuva. It doesn't say tatzil mimaves. It's an idea in getting bracha. But what's the main concept? The concept is that when a person changes their name, it causes them to view themselves differently. So Sarai, for example, she was no longer supposed to view herself in just the framework of the personal, but she should also view herself in the framework of the national, of Klal Yisrael as a whole. Similarly, Avram, same idea by Avram. The idea of the name change was the same, that he should no longer view himself simply as an individual, but he should view himself as the leader and the father of nations. When a person views himself in that way, so he really moves from a more selfish viewpoint to a more objective and a more selfless viewpoint. Okay, so we're down to Shinoi. So we finished Taka, we finished Tzaka, and we had a basic idea on Shinoi Hashem. So based on our idea of Shinoi Hashem, it's not the idea of tricking Hashem, because that really doesn't make any sense. But the idea of Shinoi Hashem is somehow tied to a new self-image, a new idea of how to look at oneself. Okay, fine. So the next one is Shinoi Maisa. So this is actually interesting. We're going to do it based on what Rashi says first, but it's actually a machlokes in the Gemara. So first we're going to understand Rashi, and then we're going to do the Rambam and the Ritva, who agree with one another. So Rashi says, by Shinoi Maisa, so the pasuk that's quoted is from Yonah. So let me just read the pasuk. It says, "Vayar ha'elokim es maaseim." So Hashem saw their actions. Ninve kishavu midarchem, because they did tshuva from their derech hara'a, from their bad derech. Vayinachem ha'elokim al hara'a asher diber lasos lahem. So he went back on what he was supposed to do to them. Velo asa, and he didn't end up doing it. So Rashi explains on the Gemara, what is Shinoi Masa? So he says, Shav Merasa. So he basically says that Shinoi Masa means a person, he does tshuva. He recognizes what his evil is, and he shav, he goes back on his evil. So Rashi is interpreting the idea of Shinoi Masa as an idea in tshuva. And I think we can all understand how tshuva helps a person change their fate. Obviously, a person through the process of tshuva is supposed to correct. I'm just giving a basic overview, but through the process of tshuva, a person's supposed to analyze their flaws, and they're supposed to come out a new person with a better perspective and a corrected soul. So that's Rashi's shot, and we're going to try to explain the Gemara, because we had that first question: if tshuva is really essential, because you see from Yud Zayin Amud Beis that tshuva is really what changes a person's lot. So over here, why doesn't the Gemara just say tshuva? And how does this Gemara fit in with the concept of tshuva in general? Okay? And then the last, we're going to just take up the last possibility, and then maybe we'll explain Rashi. So the last idea is Shinui Makom. So it says, Vayomer Hashem El Avram. It's a machlokes whether Shinui Makom, but we're going to take up the side that holds Shinui Makom. So it says, "Vayomer Hashem el Avram, lech lecha mi'artzecha u'mimoladzecha u'mibeis avicha el ha'aretz asher eka." So Hashem tells Avram to go from his land, you know, his place of birth, and from the house, his father's house, el ha'aretz asher eka, to the land in which I will show you. So Rashi says over there, number 13, Breishis Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Beis. Actually, it's the next pasuk. So he says, Ve'escha legoy gadol va'avarcha va'agadlo shemecha ve'yeh. Oh, sorry, that's the next pasuk. I'm just quoting the next pasuk. Ve'escha legoy gadol va'avarcha va'agadlo shemecha ve'yeh bracha. There, only when you leave your place, that your birthplace, and you go to this new place, will you become a great nation. So I didn't put the Rashi down on the source sheet, but Rashi, there's a famous Rashi that says that why is he so explicit when he says ma'artzecha mi'muladzecha mi'beis avicha? He should have said, like, leave your land, leave your dwelling place, leave where, you know, where you live. So Rashi says that he got a schar for each word that was said in the pasuk. Mi artzicha, mi moladzicha, mi beis avicha. So I heard an idea. I don't remember who gave this idea. I don't know if it was Rabbi Chaid or Rabbi Mann, but I heard an idea years ago to explain that Rashi, which is that a person has a lot of security in their land and where they live. And they have a certain nationalistic pride. That's ma'artzecha, mi'molatzecha, mi'beis avicha. And all these words in the pasuk represent a different psychological security that a person gets in their land. And the idea was that Avram had to break the personal. He had to break his personal feeling of comfort in his land and he had to follow the word of Hashem and really place his security in Hashem in this situation. So you see here that so that's the concept, I think, of changing your makom. The concept from Avraham you see is that sometimes a person has to break their security in their homeland and their personal security, and they have to. It's similar to the Sarah idea in the sense that you see that he now has to look at his mission in terms of Klal Yisrael and not in terms of the self. Because from a personal standpoint, a person would much rather stay with their family and stay in their homeland. But rather, Hashem was telling him that he has to place his personal aside, and he has to go to this new land where he will be successful as a national figure, as the father of Klal Yisrael. So what's the main idea? Maybe we can come out with one concept out of this Gemara that unifies them all. And maybe we can explain Rashi before we get to the Rambam and the Ritva. So I want to give a possibility to just explain what the purpose of this Gemara is according to Rashi. So if you look at the Gemara, there's a specific order to the Gemara. It's true Shinui Makom is put after, but there is an order to the Gemara. First it says Tzaka, then it says Tzaka, then it says Shinui Hashem, and then according to Rashi you do Tshuva, and then afterwards the Gemara takes up the Machlokas whether Shinui Makom is involved or not. So perhaps the explanation of Rashi is that a lot of times it's difficult for a person to do Tshuva. Why would it be difficult for a person to do Tshuva? Because it's hard to face the fact that you're a flawed individual, and it's hard to analyze your flaws and really be honest about yourself. So maybe the Gemara is telling you that all these steps are steps that a person should take prior to doing tshuva if he has a certain hesitancy in doing tshuva. In other words, if a person feels like they're not ready to do tshuva yet because they're not ready to face their flaws and the fact that they're a flawed individual, there are certain other actions that a person can do in order to get a person to get to that point where they're willing or they're on the level to do tshuva. So there seems to be a common theme within all these concepts. So the common theme seems to be that a person has to put the personal aside. And all these things do that, like tzedakah, for example. In a general sense, tzedakah, we said the idea of tzedakah is that that a person has to recognize that it's not him. He is not the only source of his money, but he has to place his security outside of himself and recognize that he is not all-powerful. Or the idea that we said by tzaka. Tzaka is a real idea that a man's life is dependent on Hashem. It's an idea that you recognize that you can't control every factor in your life, and there's a person has to recognize their smallness, so to speak, in relation to Hashem, that they're completely dependent on Hashem. And then you have Shinui Hashem. And I think the idea of Shinui Hashem is really fits into this idea because you see it's learned out from Sarah. And the idea of Shinui Hashem is that a person has to not look at themselves in the personal, from the just a personal petty standpoint, but they have to start looking at themselves in a more general standpoint in terms of the claw. What can I do for the nation? Not in terms of the personal, but it's more in terms of the nation as a whole. And only then can a person, and then Shinui Makom, which is not clear where it fits in, but I think it was placed afterwards in the Gemara because it's a Machlokas, but I think Shinui Makom comes after Shinui Hashem, but it's the same idea by Shinui Makom. A person sometimes, before he can get to the point of doing tshuva, of facing his flaws, and actually being able to handle his flaws, he might have to break his personal attachment to the land that he's in order to fulfill a certain purpose, or a purpose for Klal Yisrael as a whole. Like if a person believes that they can do more good in another place, even if their personal feelings are attached to one land, like their homeland, sometimes it's important for a person to break that in order to, and this is all a means of getting a person to do tshuva. So I think the Gemaras, according to Rashi, our original question is answered, because the Gemaras, they're not contradicting each other. Rashi agrees that tshuva is really the essence, is really what changes a person's lot in life. But really, the Gemara is telling you that if a person needs other methods to get to the level of doing tshuva, so there are these specific things that a person can do in order to be able to address his flaws and be able to really correct himself. So I think that really explains the connection between all these things and tshuva. Does anybody have any questions on that idea? Okay, good. All right. So I think that's
I have a question.
Yeah, sure. Oh, because a lot of times a person associates themselves, well, I would say like this, that a person has to, it's the same idea, a person has to somewhat subdue the self, the sense of self, his image of himself. It's not in terms of like a person being depressed about himself, but it's an idea that a person has to view himself in a different light a lot of times in order to get himself to the level of tshuva. So what he's doing is that he's changing his, a person changes their image of themselves in order to reach a higher level. Like Sara, for example. So it's a perfect example, because Sara, she had to change her view of herself, and in terms of the personal, like having a child from a personal standpoint and seeing the value of having a child from a national standpoint. So it's the same thing with a regular person. If a regular person may need to change their name and change their view of themselves in order to get them to do tshuva. If they're in other words, they have to look at themselves on a different level. They have to look at themselves from less of a personal standpoint and more of a national standpoint. And I don't know. I think that's the idea. Okay. The Rambam explains it a little bit differently, but it's a similar idea. We're going to do the Rambam now and the Ritva. He has a little bit of a different approach, and I think it's a nice approach. So the Ritva is actually on the Gemara. So the Ritva actually bashes Rashi. He takes Rashi to task. And he says, and the Rambam also, if you look at the Rambam, we're going to get to it. So the Ritva says, Shinoi Masa, it's number 14. It's the Ritva on Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tassin on the base. So he says, Perish Rashi Shav Miraso. So Rashi explains that it's a person who does tshuva, a person who shav from his evil ways. So he says, V'lo Nihira, this doesn't appear to me. Why? Dahab Shita. So this is Pasha, this idea that a person has to do tshuva in order to change his lot in life is pashut. It's an obvious idea. Shim eno shav midrachav. If a person's not shav from his path, ketovel v'sharetz biyado, who? It's like a person who does tefillah. He goes to the mikvah and he has something tamei in his hand. So it doesn't affect it. The tefillah doesn't do anything for him. She'ein mo'el lo shim tshuva. So tshuva is not going to do anything if a person's not willing to change his ways and change his evil ways and really perfect himself. So he gives a different shot. He says, "V'hanachon, what is true is she'afilu masim shel reshus she'enam hagunim k'tzas hu mishana klomar shu adam acher legamri." So he says, even things that a person does willingly that are not related to the particular ra'a that he's doing, but they're dvarm shel reshus that are not proper in other areas of life. If he senses that he's acting improperly, but it's not necessarily a chait or a flaw, so he needs to change his actions in other areas of life. And as if to say, klomar shu adam acher legamri, he's like a different person completely. It's similar to the idea of shinoi hashem, in the sense that a person has to change, not only does a person have to change their name, but they also have to change their actions, their actions in general. And then he says, v'hainu demaisi talmuda, this is why the Gemara, our Talmud, brings in the proof, Raya from Yonah, Medechsev, Vayar Helokim es Maasim, V'chishavu Midarchem Ara. So he's saying that it's not that the people of Nineveh actually did tshuva or were shav from their Derech Ara, but it's a different idea. Shinoi Maisa means a person has to change his life in other areas other than the area of Chet. So we're going to do the Rambam inside. He actually takes the same approach, and maybe we'll have a little bit of a different explanation as to what the purpose of this Gemara is according to the Rambam. So the Rambam is in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Beis, Halacha Dalet. And I put down all the halachos because we're going to use it to ask questions and to answer the Rambam. So if you look at Halacha Dalet in the Rambam, he says, Midarchei HaTshuva, Lios Hashav Tzoek Tamed Lifnei Hashem. So it's the Derech HaTshuva, the path of Tshuva, for the Shav, for the person who's a penitent, to be crying out all the time, lifnei Hashem, before Hashem, b'vechi uv'sachanunim, with crying and with requests, sachanun, I'm just going to say requests, and begging. V'oset tzedakah k'fi kocho, he also, a shav, a penitent, has to do tzedakah k'fi kocho, as much as he can. U'misrachik harbe min adavar shechata bo, he has to move himself far away from that which he sinned in. Umishane shemo, and he changes his name, klomar, as if to say, ani acher, v'eni oso ha'ish, asa osan ha'maisim, I'm a different man, I'm not the same person who did those things, those chataim. Umeshana Masav Kulon Latova Oladarach Yishara. And he should change all of his actions, not just the action of the chait, but he changes all of his actions, his whole framework of actions, he should change for the good and for the straight path. Vigola Mimakomo, and he should put himself in gulus. He should be exiled from his makom. See, the Rambam paskins that's really one of the things that a person should do. Shegulus Mechaperis Avon. So gulus, it acts as a kapara for a person's avon. Mipnei Shegoremis Lo, it causes men Lachnea to be small. Velios Anav Vishafel Ruach, to be an Anav, to be humble, and to be Shafel Ruach, to be have a lowliness of spirit. So the Rambam is quoting this Gemara, but he says midarchei tshuva. He says it's the path of tshuva. So what does he mean by the path of tshuva? Because it's not tshuva itself. Because if you look at, I brought in all the halachos in this parak, the first three halachos, to ask a question. What is darchei tshuva? Because if you look at halacha beis, it's definitely not tshuva itself. Because in halacha beis it says umahi hatshuva. What is tshuva? Hu sheyazov hachote cheto. So it. Tshuva involves the sinner leaving his sin. V'yasiru mimachshavto, he has to remove the sin from his thoughts. V'yigmor belibo shelo yaseu od, and he has to decide in his heart that he's not going to do the chait anymore. Shneamar, because it says in the pasuk yazov rasha darko, so the rasha has to leave his path. V'chein, and so too yisnachem al she'avar, and he has to regret what he did in the past. Shenemar ki achare shuvi nichamti. After I finished the tshuva, I was regretful. V'yayid alav yodea talumo shel yashuv l'zeh achet l'olam. He has to testify that he's not going to return to this ever. Shenemar v'lo nemar od elokinu l'masi adenu. V'tzarech l'hisvados b'svasa v'lomar inyanos elu shegamar belibo. He also has to say it verbally. So you see that tshuva and darchei tshuva are two different things. Tshuva is that a person sees what his flaw is. Basically, he sees what his flaw is, he corrects his flaw, he regrets his flaw, and he decides not to do it again ever. So if that's what tshuva is, so what? How do all these other things fit into tshuva? Tzedakah, what is darchei tshuva, and how do these other things fit into tshuva? Because at least by Rashi, we understood that Rashi was telling you that these things are a means of getting a person to do tshuva. If a person is not ready to confront his flaws, then he should do all these things. He should do tzedakah and tzaka, and he should do... These are preliminary steps. But the Rambam's not saying that, because he doesn't say that this stuff leads to tshuva. He just says it's darchei tshuva. He says it's the path of tshuva. So what exactly does he mean by the path of tshuva, if it's not tshuva itself? Okay. So how are we going to answer... How are we going to answer the Rambam, what darchei tshuva is? So I just want to... Just give, if you look at Halacha Aleph, to answer the Rama, if you look at Halacha Aleph in this parak, so he says, Ezo hi tshuva gemura. What is tshuva gemura? Zeh sheba liyado davar, it's famous Rambam, so he says, Zeh sheba liyado davar she'avar bo, ve'efshar biyado laso so, upirish velo asa mipnei tshuva. So when is tshuva complete? If a person's placed in the same situation that he was in before, and he resists the chait, that's when you know that it's tshuva gemura. That is tshuva gemura. V'lo miyira v'lo mechishlon koach. It's not that a person doesn't do it because he's afraid or because he's weak. And he gives an example. Ketzad hareisha bal isha ba'avera. So a person had he had immoral relations with a woman. U'la'achar zman nisyachet imo. And after a period of time, he was alone with her. V'hu omed ba'avaso ba, and he still loves her. Ovekoach gufo, and he still has the same strength. Medina sh'avar ba upirish v'lo avar, and he's in the same place, and he ends up stopping himself. He separates himself v'lo avar, and he's not over the iser. Zehu bal tshuva gemura. This is a bal tshuva gemura. So the Rambam holds that, and he goes on. Hushu shlomo amar zchoras barecha b'mei b'churosecha. But the main point I want to bring out from the Rambam is that tshuva gemura is defined as a person being in the same state as he was when he first did the chait, but it's a person resisting the chait, and that's really a reflection of complete tshuva. So with this concept, maybe we can answer the Rambam's idea of, or what he means by darchei tshuva. So perhaps the Rambam is saying that tshuva is not a singular process. It's true that a person does tshuva. Tshuva essentially is confronting the flaw, the particular flaw that the person has, But tshuva lasts beyond the process of tshuva. You see that from the fact that he holds that tshuva gemura is that if a person's placed in the same situation, he has to resist it. That's tshuva gemura. So you see that tshuva exists even after the particular of facing one's flaws and correcting one's flaws, because a person has to maintain that state as a shav. He has to be able for the rest of his life to be able to resist the same chait that he once did in order to be defined as a complete shav. So what's the Rambam saying now based on that idea? Because you see, the Rambam says midarchei tshuva lios hashav. So the person's already a shav. He's already in a state of tshuva. He's already a penitent. So the Rambam, perhaps, he's saying that a different idea than Rashi. The Rambam's not saying that these concepts of the Gemara are really to bring a person to do tshuva, but rather the Rambam is saying that if a person wants to maintain his state of a shav, and he wants to be a shav gemura, a complete penitent, he has to do all these things. What are these things? It's the same. I don't think it's drastically different than the ideas that we brought out from the Gemara alone, but let's just look inside as to what he says. So he says, Midarchei atshuva lios hashav tzoek tamid lifnei Hashem bevechi uvesachanunim. So we said this idea, and I'm just going to repeat it, but the idea is that a shav, a penitent, in order to maintain his state as a shav, one idea is that he has to recognize his dependency on God. And the idea of bevchi of sachanunim is a real emotional recognition of one's—it's of despair. It's really one recognizing that, you know, one's life is in the balance, and Hashem really holds the strings, and he's really in control of man's existence. So that's one idea which we stated before. And then he says v'oset staka kfi kocho. So he does staka. So we said the idea of staka is a similar idea, that a person has to recognize that it's not all him. And it's a lot of his success in money and in finances comes from God. And he says, "Misrachik harbe min adavar shechatabo." So not only does the person have to face his chait, but he has to move himself to the opposite extreme in order to maintain the state as a shav. He says, "Umishane shmo." Same idea of shinur Hashem. Klomar ni acher ve'eni oso aish she'asa osan hamasim. Umishane ma'asav kulan letova l'derech yishara. And he has to change all of his actions. The idea of changing all of your actions is similar to shinui hashem. It's one thing for a person to look at himself in a different light, but if a person actually concretizes, similar to vidui, if a person concretizes his new image of himself in his actions, it'll be easier for a person to see himself in a different light and be able to maintain his state as a shav. And the last idea the Rambam says is vigola mimakomo. Shigolos mechaperas avon, mibnei shigoremes lo l'hachnea v'lios ana v'shafal ruach. So I just want to add one idea, maybe actually one or two ideas to this Rambam, and then summarize this shir. So the last concept of gullus, I think the Rambam is saying a little bit different than what we were saying. The Rambam says that it causes man to be low, to lachnea v'lios anav, to be humble, v'shafal ruach. Why would moving cause a person to be a shafal ruach in general? So I would say, anybody have any possibilities? Why would it cause a person to, other than the idea that we said before, we said the main idea before was that a person has to sometimes break his personal attachment to his land for the national, in order to view himself from a less selfish standpoint and to do what is best for the nation a classic example would be teaching Torah. If a guy knew that he could teach Torah better in a different place, but he was born in a certain place, sometimes it might be proper for a person to leave his homeland and really to break down his attachment to his homeland and do something that's better for his own perfection and also for Klal Yisrael as a whole. But I think the Rambam's saying a little bit of a different idea. Then the Rambam's saying that a lot of times a person, he develops a reputation in the place that he lives, and a person feels comfortable because people know him. And you see this a lot, especially in a shul structure and a yeshiva structure. Like, people know who you are. You feel like a certain self-importance. You feel like you have a role. And when you move, a lot of times, obviously the ideal is you move to a place which is very friendly. And Bergenfield is a very friendly place in general. But in general, when you move, it does affect your ego somewhat, because you're used to feeling a certain self-importance because of the fact that you're known and people like know what your role is and who you are. And then you move somewhere and you don't know anybody. So it really does affect a person's humility. And a lot of times when a person moves, they have to really accept that change. And it's a difficult acceptance, but it has benefits because it changes a person's view of themselves from being this great person, this person who is the center of attention, or who has other people's admiration. And now you're going to a place where nobody really knows you and you're really unknown. So I think that's the idea perhaps that the Rambam is saying by Golem and Makomo. The Rambam has a different order than the Gemara. So I just want to say just the last concept is that I think the Rambam's order of Tzoei Tamil Lefnei Hashem B'Vechiv Sachanunim and then Staka is he's going in order of least to hardest. It's the hardest thing for a person to do to change their makom, and it's the most demanding of a person in order to maintain their status of shav to change where they live. But the easiest thing to do is to change one's tefillah, because a person's chayav to daven every day. So all a person has to do, it's not so easy to do it, but what a person has to do is they have to start looking at their tefillah differently. They have to see their state before God as one of despair, one of, I recognize that my life is really taloy, is really dependent on Hashem, and not dependent completely on my own strength and my own power. And then after that, staka, and then shinui Hashem is harder than that, I think, to change one's view of himself and really change his name. And changing all your actions is even harder. And changing your makom is even harder than that, because it takes a greater commitment. But the general idea that Ram's saying is that a person has to be committed to maintaining his state of perfection as a result of tshuva. And tshuva itself is dependent on maintaining that state. So I just want to summarize the two main points that we said in the shir. At the end of the this is the end of the shir. So one idea we said for Rashi is that the idea of all these other mitzvahs in particular is that they bring a person to doing tshuva. A lot of times a person resists doing tshuva because it's very hard to face your flaws. So in order to get a person to get to that level where he can actually do tshuva, a person has to subdue his ego somewhat. And these things, all these things, staka and saka, they all subdue a man's ego and recognize his dependency on God in general. And even shinui Hashem, he has to view himself differently, and he has to subdue the personal somewhat and look at himself in a broader text, in a broader framework, as opposed to the Rambam, who has a little bit of a different idea, and he holds that tshuva is really an ongoing process. It's not just the particular, and obviously a person is yotzei tshuva if he faces his flaws and he corrects himself, but a person has to maintain that state in order for it to be tshuva gemura, and he has to be able to really withstand a future temptation in order to really be defined as a complete shav. So the Rambam is saying that the Gemara is giving us the tools in which a person can maintain that state as a complete shav. And sometimes those tools involve these things, staka, tzaka, shinoi Hashem, and shinoi makom, and shinoi maisim. So does anybody have any questions on this year? Anybody? All right, so I just want to thank everybody for calling in and listening to this year. And if you have any questions, I like I said before, my email address is aginsburg@mail.com. And so I just want to thank everybody for listening. Okay, so have a good night, everybody.
Thank you very much.
All right, you too. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.